Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. Today we have some information from the July-August issue of Share International magazine, and the first being a series of brief reports in the Save Our Planet section. And the description for the section reads as follows. In the words of a master of wisdom, apart from war, nothing so profoundly affects the future of all men as much as pollution. Some countries have recognised this fact and have taken some steps to limit pollution and global warming. Time is running out for men to halt the transformation which is being daily wrought on planet Earth. Every man, woman and child must play their part in the task. Time is verily running out. SOP, Save Our Planet. And that's from the article, SOP, Save Our Planet, by Benjamin Cram's master, and it was given in September 2012.
And here's an article from a source by Nuclear Fusion Journal of IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency. And it starts, Nuclear Fusion Hits Another Milestone. A huge step forward making nuclear fusion energy a practical reality has been taken inside a compact fusion reactor, barely a meter across. Ions were heated to 100 million degrees Celsius, several times hotter than the sun's core, in a spherical tokamak, which confines plasma in a cored apple shape swirl intended to improve the stability and practicality of power generation. The feat was achieved by researchers from Tokamak Energy Limited in the UK, the US and Germany. Such high temperatures have previously only been obtained in much larger devices with more heat. Comparatively, the compact devices are cheaper to build, more efficient and more stable. All advantages for making the technology commercially viable. There are still multiple hurdles to overcome before nuclear fusion can be considered a practical source of power, but each such development brings us closer to the goal of having an inexhaustible source of clean energy with no harmful emissions attached.
The next short report is titled Right to Repair Laws Tackle E-Waste. Technology that's thrown away instead of being repaired produces 35 million tonnes of waste and 261 million tonnes of carbon dioxide emissions every year in Europe. But those figures could change with a right to repair law currently being developed by the European Union. If adopted, the proposal would force companies to offer consumers the right to repair their electronic devices and machines, either through the manufacturer or a third party. Waste would be reduced by giving consumers a choice between repair and replacement, because repairs would be easier and more cost-effective.
The scheme would also discourage planned obsolescence, since manufacturers would be motivated to develop more sustainable products. Further, they would be forced to provide information on how to repair products, ending their monopoly on repairs and allowing small businesses to participate in the repair process. Austria introduced such a program a year ago. It allows consumers to take defective devices such as smartphones, laptops, coffee makers, and dishwashers to one of 3,500 locations across the country. The government covers half the cost of repairs, and so far the program's success has exceeded all expectations. Monopolies and planned obsolescence benefit large corporations, but they don't benefit the environment or consumers' pocketbooks, and governments are finally beginning to take notice and rein them in. That was sourced from Euronews Green.
And here's an article of local relevance. It's titled, New Zealand Announces Its Biggest Ever Emissions Reduction Project. The New Zealand government plans to spend up to $40 million subsidising one of the country's biggest greenhouse gas emitters to transition away from burning coal. The move to power Glenbrook Steel Plant with electricity from renewables rather than coal will reduce emissions by 800,000 tonnes annually, or 1% of national emissions, the equivalent of taking 300,000 cars off the road. It will be the biggest emissions reduction initiative in New Zealand to date. The project has been described as a global template for governments and industry to work together to reduce emissions. Currently, the steel company accounts for 2% of New Zealand's total emissions through intensive burning of coal to melt down iron-rich sands into steel products. The new project will install a $300 million electric-powered arc furnace to melt down the scrap steel instead. That electricity will be provided by renewable energy through the national grid. And the funding for this initiative will come from the emissions trading scheme, which means it will be financed primarily by the biggest polluters themselves. These polluters have previously contributed to a separate industry decarbonisation fund, which specifically aims to reduce emissions from industries that are complex to decarbonise. The sources of that little report were The Guardian newspaper and Dominion Post and New Zealand Herald.
Right, now for another article. Mr. Sanders, when three men are richer than 165 million people, then the working class must come together. And this is by John Quealy. As President Joe Biden signed into law an agreement on the 3rd of June 2023 that would shield wealthy tax cheats from stronger IRS enforcement, while at the same time enacting cuts to key anti-poverty programs, Senator Bernie Sanders and other progressive allies were busy denouncing the immoral low-wage economic system in the United States, in which just a small handful of mega-billionaires have accumulated more wealth than tens of millions of hard-working but low-paid workers and their families. At a rally to raise the wage in Charleston, South Carolina, on Sunday, the 3rd of June, the independent politicians and two-time presidential candidate rallied against the inequality that remains so pervasive in the country and the political forces that seek to divide the working class. And he says, the reason we are here today is not complicated. In the richest country in the world, we demand an economy that works for all, not just the few. It is not moral that three people on top own more wealth than the bottom half of American society, 165 million Americans, Sanders declared during his speech. That's not moral. That's not right. That's not what should exist in a democratic society.
Sanders was joined on the tour through the South, which also included stops in Durham, North Carolina, and Nashville, Tennessee, by Bishop William J. Barber II, who's the founding director of the Center for Public Theology and Public Policy at Yale Divinity School, who said Sanders had asked him to attend specifically to discuss the moral case for combating poverty and raising wages. And Barber said, when Jesus started his ministry, he said, I'm coming to preach good news to the poor, meaning those who had been made poor by the economic exploitation of Rome. Barber told the crowd that there are over 2,000 scriptures in the Bible detailing the worth of the poor and the value of labourers. And he says the Bible does not talk about taking a woman's right from her body. The Bible does not talk about hating people because of their sexuality. The Bible does not talk about prayer in the school. And the Bible does not talk about putting up the Ten Commandments. But more than 2,000 times, more than any other subject, other than self-worship, idolatry, the Bible says the way to please God is how we treat the least of these and those in the margins.
In every age, he continued, moral people have had to rise up and decide to make the moral case that things have to change and injustice has to move. In contrast to a living wage of $17 an hour, a core issue of the rally, Bishop Barber said the current federal minimum wage of $7.25 should be seen as a death wage, given the rate at which poverty kills in the country. Barber told the diverse South Carolina audience in attendance, including those attending beside him, who were older and younger people of different racial, religious, and sexual identities, that their unity and solidarity in the face of economic inequality and social injustice remains their greatest asset. The people in power, said Barber, they are afraid of this room. Invoking Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., Barber explained how in 1965, Dr. King stood on the steps of the Alabama State House and said that the greatest fear of the South in aristocracy and the oligarchy was for the masses of people, Negroes and poor white folks, to get together and form a powerful new voting bloc that would shift the economic architecture of the nation. And I want to suggest, he continued, if that's what they're afraid of, then let's build it. Let's build it, and maybe in the process, some of them will even be redeemed and stop hurting people. Who gets up in the morning and all you can think about is how you can take somebody's health care? Who gets up in the morning and asks, how can I use my power to hurt somebody?
He made a final point about those in power and how the forces at work denying freedom and dignity to certain people in society are also the same forces attacking democracy and economic equality. And he said, the same people who are attacking gay people are attacking our voting rights. The same people who are attacking trans people are attacking our healthcare. The same people trying to take away a woman's right are also against living wages. If they are cynical enough to be together, we ought to be smart enough to come together around the moral agenda. And Barber said the southern states are key and must not be ignored by federal politicians, arguing that the Carolinas, Tennessee and others are not necessarily red states, but just states that have been intentionally divided and where workers have been disempowered. And Barber declared, we need a living wage and we need it now. It's time for change and justice has got to move. You've got to make them hear you. You've got to make them see you. You've got to make them feel your power.
And he added, this is a moral fight. We can't allow corporate greed to sell out and tear the souls and substance of the nation apart. This is a nation-saving fight. And prior to Barber, local hairdresser Lydia Stewart spoke about working conditions at the salon business that employs her. Great Clips, it's called, and the organizing effort she and her colleagues have undertaken with the Union of Southern Service Workers to increase workplace safety and win higher wages. During the rally, State Rep. Wendell Gilliard also spoke and talked about the need for a true living wage in the state that should be no less than $17 an hour. We have come a long way, Gilliard said, fighting for the rights of we the people. This is not about party, it's always been about the people. Charlestonians work hard and deserve more for what they do to keep this region running. They deserve more than a minimum wage, they deserve a living wage. With rising cost of living, Gilliard continues, more and more of our neighbors and friends and our family members will slip into poverty unless they see an increase. $17 an hour is a living wage. It will help poverty from swallowing up more victims and help increase the standard of living here in Charleston.
In closing his speech for the rally, Gilliard said the event with Sanders and Barber could not simply be a moment in time, but must signify the existence of a movement ready to fight for the long haul. And he said it cannot be a moment in time. It has to be a movement that will live until we get it done. In his headliner address, Bernie Sanders echoed what Bishop Barber argued, that the ruling elite and moneyed oligarchy wins when they divide up the working class and those living in poverty. And Sanders says, in every way that you can think, there are really smart people out there polling today saying, how do I get you to vote against your own self-interest? How do I get black and white and Latino and Native American, Asian American, gay and straight against each other so that the big money interests laugh all the way to the bank? So what our movement is about is precisely the opposite of what the big money interests want. They want to divide us up, and we are determined to bring working people together, black and white and Latino, all of us together around an agenda that works for us, not just the billionaire class. And that's sourced from the Common Dreams website.
Now we have time for a message from the book Messages from Maitreya the Christ, and it's message number 79 from August 28th, 1979. When you see me, you will know that the time for action has come, for I count on you, my friends, to act in implementing my plan. For many of you, this is an old and well-known mode of life. You are servers come to serve your brothers. It is as such that I shall call on you, and I value highly your help. Without that willing help, my mission would be a burden indeed. Now that I am among you, I have discovered even more keenly that mankind is ready to share. Within all those who hear me, I see the burning light of justice and truth. I voice simply their desire and thus evoke that truth. So will it be with you, my friends, for even as I speak, I see shining within you that divine light. Let it shine brightly forth, my dear friends, and show the way for your brothers.
Well, that is our program for the day. Thank you very much for listening. For more information, check out the website share-international.org, and note that it contains excerpts from recent issues of Share International magazine, and also shows how you can subscribe to the magazine if you are at all inclined. You're also welcome to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com should you have any queries. And wishing you all a lovely week.